Another holiday show, or should I say, another Christmas show, even though it's only December 2nd. Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody loves and falls in love somehow.
Mr. Martin, 3 minutes till airtime.
3 minutes, okay. I'm sure the audience will be primed and ready to go. Well, see now, we have quite the lineup of stars today, but then I am Dean Martin, star of stage, screen, television, and oh, how the ladies love my voice when I sing.
Did I just hear someone say, "Lady"?
Well, well, if it isn't my former partner, the one, the only, Jerry Lewis.
Thank you, thank you. Dino, I can't believe that we haven't done a show together in years. It really only seems like yesterday.
Jerry, as always, you are right on target. In fact, on our opening show back in April of 1949, do you remember when I asked you on that show how big an egg could we lay?
Of course I remember. And I said, well, if we got a hen and had it hold back for 2 years...
Well, that's right. And as a matter of fact, we didn't lay an egg. Not at all.
Mr. Martin, 2 minutes... And, Mr. Martin, the writers have a few new pages of script for you. Only some minor changes.
As always, those pesky writers, as Orson Welles always calls them, have some changes for you to look at.
Good idea, Jer.
By the way, Dean, that is ginger ale, isn't it? I mean, you did tell me when you called me and invited me to one of your special guests, to be your special guest today, that this was a family show right here at Lake Lawn Resort, right?
Yeah, Jerry, it's Swiss ginger ale. In fact, you know it's what I like to call deliciously different.
Just like you, Dean. I think even today they say it has an authentic and bold taste.
Sounds like another product placement plug. Well, once again, on this 132nd broadcast of the 30 Time Award-winning WGTD Radio Theater, but who was counting? Okay, Steve Brown is always counting.
You would expect that, especially after being on the air now for 18 seasons.
1 minute, Mr. Martin, 1 minute. That's why I'm knocking at the door.
Well, guys, we better get ready for our show. You know, I'll prompt those folks at WGTD HD Public Radio, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, and right here in Delavan, Ken B.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 60 seconds before we go live. So I wanted to remind all of you to please silence your cell phones, sit back, relax, and most of all, have lots of fun for today's live broadcast from the WGTD Radio Theater, which, by the way, is show number 132. As we wind up our 18th season, and yes, we have been renewed for our 19th season.
30 seconds to airtime, everyone.
Just in case I forget, before we go on the air, let me tell all of you here in the audience at Lake Lawn Resort in beautiful Delavan, Wisconsin, that support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Brown Ulster Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin, and also the beautiful Lake Lawn Resort right here in Delavan, Wisconsin. And finally, today's show is directed by Rene Bushell and written by executive producer Steve Brown.
Well, if it isn't our wonderful show announcer Siegfried Christoph, always doing such a great job.
Why, thank you, Mr. Martin. And as always, here's your favorite drink before you go on the air.
You must mean my Schweppes ginger ale.
You are correct, sir.
Someone say Ed McMahon in the room here was here from the Tonight Show? Well, I always love to have my drink in hand before I go on the air. And I think it's time for the stage manager to say...
Okay, quiet everyone. In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your show announcer, Siegfried Christoph. welcoming you to the WGTD Radio Theater's holiday broadcast, starring Dean Martin. We are once again coming to you live from Lake Lawn Resort right here on beautiful Dullivan Lake in Walworth County, Wisconsin. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the star of today's show, the man known worldwide and the everybody loves somebody type of guy, Mr. Dean Martin.
Thank you. Thank you, Siegfried, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's such a pleasure to be back here in Wisconsin. You know, I grew up here in the Midwest. In fact, I was born in Steubenville, Ohio, back in June of 1917 to Italian immigrants. My name at birth was Dino Paul Crocetti. Later on, once I started my life in show business, I decided that name wouldn't fit on the marquee. So I just changed it to Dean Martin. It was just easier that way. And as they like to say, the rest is history. That name just stuck with me.
Dean, speaking about the rest is history, I think it's time to hear from our other fantastic vocalist, Mr. John Ludi Paleo.
Siegfried, I do think you are correct. Here's John's wonderful rendition of It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Thank you, John Ludi Paleo. As always, your music brings smiles to all of our faces. He will be back a bit later with another great song.
You are so right about that, Siegfried. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for one of our best-known holiday show events, A Christmas Dragnet, written by Stan Freberg.
My name's Wednesday, Joe Wednesday. My partner's Frank Jones. The chief's name is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve. They brought a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him in on, my blood ran cold. It was a 4096-325-096-704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch out of Homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I came down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early, just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? Got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings. Turkey, celery, stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts, all the trimmings, you know. Cranberry sauce, love to have you. The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Notice what, Frank?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Uh-huh, scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Mrs. always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions.
Uh-huh, let's not go through that again.
Go through what, Joe?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh, you noticed that too, huh, Joe?
Homicide, Wednesday.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing a guy in on a 40963509670. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We question the guy didn't believe in Santa Claus. Guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, that right?
Yeah!
Says here you don't believe in Santa Claus. Hard to believe what you said. Did you really say that?
Sure, I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshots.
Any fingerprints?
No, no latent prints. I just know, that's all. Like saying there's no Easter Bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
What's your story, mister?
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge. Didn't I pick you up 3 years ago on a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah. And I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I hadn't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm going to get up and walk right out of this room because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Pretty funny. The police department's got nothing better to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail?
I took Grudge over to the helicopter. Got in, flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurrying in out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people, but I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. How are those stockings hung, Grudge?
By the chimney with care, but I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snuggle in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums, but you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job. Get to the North Pole. I set the plane down. We walked over to Sandy's workshop. Rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short of help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Uh-huh. That figures.
What a waste of time.
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would have to come on the one night he's out on the whole year.
What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job, feed them.
Yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish, olives, pickles, and them little carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Uh-huh.
And scallions.
Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us through the workshop.
Oh, my boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Do you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Uh-huh.
Man, look at all that stuff.
Well, would you believe it? They're all for the same man, then piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Uh-huh, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance that this guy can still...
Oh, get the presents? Oh, sure, he gets them all. The minute he believes, but I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it! I don't want to hear it!
Come on, Mr. Brownie, what's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The Brownie saw us to the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus?
Yes, sir.
Do you think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then, I believe in Santa Claus. And Columbus.
How about Cincinnati and Cleveland and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still hadn't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know that can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
I always loved that story. One of Stan Freberg's best ones, in my opinion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another great song from Bill's Little Big Band. Take it away, Bill. Thank you.
Another great musical number by Bell's Little Big Band. And now, here's a wonderful story. Mrs. Santa Claus, written by Carolyn S. Bailey, as told by Miss Natalie Lavoie.
It was Christmas Eve. Santa Claus was just ready to start out upon his long journey over the snowy treetops and roofs to find the waiting chimneys and the little empty stockings. Such a busy day as it had been, with Mrs. Claus sewing buttons on the last doll's dress and tying the last hair ribbon and smoothing the last curl. But everything was ready. The sleigh was packed from top to bottom, so full that it seemed as if old Santa Claus could never squeeze himself in. The reindeer were harnessed and prancing, Dasher and Dancer and Donner and Vixen and the rest. The sleigh bells were ringing gaily, and old Santa Claus jumped in and took the reins. "Goodbye, Mother," he called to Mrs. Santa Claus, who stood in the door to watch the sleigh start. "Anything I can bring you from the city, dear?" "I think I need a new pair of spectacles," said Mrs. Santa Claus. "My eyes are growing dim with so much sewing. If the stores are open when you finish tonight, just bring me a stronger pair of glasses." "I will. Goodbye," shouted Santa Claus. With a dash and a jingle of bells, the reindeer jumped to the top of the trees and started. And Mrs. Santa Claus went in to sit in her rocking chair by the fire and doze. The workshop was very still on Christmas Eve, you know. It's the only time the whole year when Santa Claus's workers may rest. So, the little ones who paint the sleds and nail the dollhouses and test the steamboats were curled up in heaps on all the benches, fast asleep and snoring. Mrs. Santa Claus sat and rocked by the fire and thought of all the dolls she had dressed. "There were 400 with silk dresses," she said to herself, "and 200 with blue dresses. There were 500 baby dolls, and I never finished dressing them until today. I wonder if Santa packed them all. I must go and see." So Mrs. Santa Claus lit a candle and went out to the sewing room and peered about in every corner. There were piles of silk and velvet and satin and ribbon all over the floor, but, oh, there sat three dolls, a baby doll, a doll in pink, and a doll in blue. Santa had forgotten them. "What shall I do? What shall I do?" cried Mrs. Santa Claus, looking out the window to see if Santa was anywhere in sight. But he was not. "We counted them all, and they were just enough to go around. Three little girls will have no dolls on Christmas morning. I shall have to go with them myself." Out in the barn, there was just one reindeer standing in his stall. It was Blitzen, who had a lame foot, so he could not take the long journey with the others. He was contentedly munching hay, but Mrs. Santa Claus tucked the dolls under her arm, put on her little red shawl, tied her cap strings tighter, and hurried to the barn. "Come on, Blitzen," she said, as she saddled him and jumped on his back. "We must go as fast as ever we can after Santa Claus. He has left behind three dolls." So Blitzen dropped his hay, and they started. Over the woods and the fields and the fences, they dashed so fast that the wind was left far behind. They looked very funny indeed, for Mrs. Santa Claus had forgotten to take off her apron and her cap was all awry. But on they hurried, and when they came to the towns, Blitzen stopped at every roof so that Mrs. Santa Claus might look down the chimney. But Santa had already been there first, and the stockings were filled and the dolls were waiting. "We counted them all," said Mrs. Santa Claus to herself. "Someone will need a doll." And sure enough, she came to a wee chimney of a very wee house, and there was a stocking hung, but there was only an apple in it, nothing else. So Mrs. Santa Claus dropped the beautiful doll that was dressed in pink silk into the stocking and started on once more. Presently, she came to another house, and when Mrs. Santa Claus looked down the chimney, she saw no stocking at all hanging by the fireplace, and there was no fire even. There was nothing in the room but a table and a broken chair and a bed with a little girl so thin and pale lay sleeping. And Mrs. Santa Claus dropped the doll in the blue silk dress right down into the little girl's arms and hurried on again. It was almost Christmas morning when they reached the barn, and oh, they were very tired. When Santa Claus came back with his empty sleigh and the new spectacles, he found Mrs. Santa Claus fast asleep in her rocking chair by the fire. "Poor mother," he said. "She's been sewing too much." And Mrs. Santa Claus woke up, but she never talked about the three dolls.
What an absolutely delightful story. Thank you so much, Natalie Lavoie.
Well, it's time now for a new episode of Fibber McGee and Molly.
There are certain people who simply won't admit that nature does anything right. They are the kind who gild cattails, paint "Whose Little Tootsie Are You" on the shells of baby turtles, and clip poodle dogs to look like anemic lions. Here's one of those people now as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Fred, how much you charge me to paint this Christmas tree white?
Why do you want it white, Mickey?
What do you mean, why do I want it white? You got 100 trees in this lot you painted white.
Yeah, and I think they're horrible. But some people like them that way.
Never mind the artistic comment, Fred. How much?
$10.
$10? To spray a little white paint on this half-pint tree? Who do you think you are, Rembrandt? Look, maybe you didn't understand. I want this tree painted white, not gold-plated.
$10.
You're a pirate, and I'll bet you've made $200 already today.
You're a cheapskate, and I've made $340.
Well, you're a robber, and you want to sell a half interest in the lot?
Yeah, you're a stoop, and I wouldn't sell my own mother a half interest.
Well, you're a low-down, dirty... the dirty swindler. $10 to spray a little tree like that white. The rat. Cheating people right and left, making $400 a day. The chiseler. I don't know whether to report him to the OPA or make him a better offer for the half interest. The low down...
What's the matter, McGee, this time?
That guy, Fred Corrigan, that runs the Christmas tree lot at 14th and Oak, the dirty pine broker, wanted to charge me $10 to paint our Christmas tree white.
Well, that does seem a little high, dearie. But think of the work there is to it, putting all those needles back on after the paint dries.
They don't take the needles off. They just spray the tree. Whish, whish, whish. Ta-da! That's all there is to it.
Well, if wishing will make it so, why don't you do it yourself?
If it's a $10 job, I can't afford to pay myself that much. Besides, I haven't got a paint spray, so, hey... Haven't we got a paint spray attachment on the vacuum cleaner? My gosh, I can have that tree painted white before you can say, doesn't that look awful?
Oh, now, McGee, please. I realize we need the house painted, but not on the inside. Let's leave the tree green.
You'll love a white one, Snooky. It's the modern thing. Nobody uses green trees anymore. They're outmoded.
You don't say. Well, tell me, Salvador, what color snow are people using this year? Chartreuse?
No kidding, Molly. White Christmas trees are all the rage.
Well, they must be. They throw me into one. Look, sweetheart, just put the tree up and trim it. I love a Christmas tree that's green. Don't you, Alice?
Don't I what, Mrs. McGee?
Look, Molly, I'll put it to Alice fair and square and let her give an opinion. Here's the proposition, kid. If you were going to have a Christmas tree, which would you rather have? A dusty, drab, dirty old green one? Or a bright, snappy, glistening white one?
Which, Alice?
Mistletoe.
Mistletoe? What an answer.
Jeepers, don't you like to hang a little bouquet of mistletoe, Mr. McGee?
He's too shy, Alice.
I am not shy. But what good is mistletoe? Catch somebody under it, and it's either somebody you can kiss anyway, like your wife, or you can get a slap in the chops before you can point up to it. Mistletoe, that's just poison ivy with berries.
We'll put some up, Alice, and you'll see who manages to spend most of his time loitering around beneath it. But honestly, dear, do you like a white Christmas tree?
I gotta go now, Mrs. McGee.
Okay, Alice. See you later. Where did you leave the tree, dearie?
Out in front. I can attach the vacuum cleaner cord from the porch light. Now, let me see. I'll...
Oh, come in! Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Molly. And how are you today, Pantry Punch?
Fine, Jumbo. You out spreading a little cheer, telling your patients you're going to retire?
Oh, he's not going to retire for years yet, are you, Dr. Gamble?
My dear, I'll retire on that far distant day when I can write a personal check for $400 and not have to have the hired help at the Fourth National Development Bank burst into hysterical laughter.
Go on, you old miser. You got that much buried under a loose brick in the fireplace right now. Trouble with you is you got more affection for a dollar than my wife has for a pound of butter. And that's the love match of the year, fatso.
You have no right to say that, McGee. Dr. Gamble has more private charity work than anybody in town.
Certainly. I'm a very noble character. When I walk down the street, flowers spring in the bloom. Birds burst into song and taxicabs honk twice before they try to kill me. Well, I gotta run along now. This is my busy season, you know.
I suppose the children keep you pretty busy around Christmas time, Dr. Gamble.
No, it's the so-called grown-ups, my dear. This is the silly season, when 200-pound men start climbing 49-cent stepladders to wire dime store angels to the top of $3 Christmas trees and wind up in a $500 plaster cast. Pennywise and compound fracture foolish.
Don't you want to stick around and watch me trim our Christmas tree, Dr. Gamble? I'm painting it white.
You don't have to do that, Skipwit. When I put my gift for you under it, it'll turn white. Good night.
Ah, this doggone thing clogs up like a sentimental woman at a sad movie.
What seems to be the matter, dearie?
This paint spray goes along all right for a minute, but then it chokes up. And when it comes loose again, it throws a blob of paint that would knock Dr. Gamble's IQ right out of the balcony.
Well, pound it on the porch steps. Maybe that'll loosen it up.
Okay, I will.
Okay, now try it.
Okay.
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. You almost hit me with that.
Sorry, kiddo. I didn't know it was loaded. Well, here we go. Dad rat it. It done it again. Clogged up.
Well, hurry up and get the job finished, McGee. It's colder than a lineman's lunch out here.
You go in the house if you wanna. I can handle this all right.
No, I've got to stay out here and tell people who you are. Get a little more of that white paint on you. They'll think you're a badly constructed snowman.
Aha! That does it. I'll have this tree sprayed before you can...
You're getting more paint on yourself than you are on the tree, McGee.
Well, the wind keeps changing. They ought to make these paint sprays with a weather vane on them. By George, if... Ah, this is the best it's ever been. Look how white the tree is getting, Molly.
There's one question I'd like to ask you. McGee, are you sure...
Don't bother me now, kiddo. I'm going too good. Hot dog, ain't that getting beautiful? I finally got this spray gun working perfect.
I know, but look, McGee, I've been wanting
Later,
to ask
Tootsie.
You...
Later, Tootsie. I'm just about finished. There we are, all done. And believe me, that's the whitest Christmas tree you'll ever see. Now, won't you admit this is a mighty perfect effect, baby?
Well, yes, if you like that sort of thing. McGee?
Eh?
Whose Christmas tree is this on the front porch?
Oh, that's the one I bought this morning that I'm gonna paint white and... Oh my gosh! What tree did I paint?
The one that's been growing there in the yard all these years. Bring in the vacuum cleaner when you come.
This has been another wonderful episode of Fibber McGee and Molly here on the WGTD Radio Network.
I think it's time now to take a sleigh ride with Bill's Little Big Band. Bill, take us away for the sleigh ride.
Mm-hmm.
wonderful group of fantastic musicians. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting to be that time once again where we have to bid you a fond farewell. From this live broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater and our holiday show from Lake Lawn Resort. Now, before we hear one more song from John Ludi Paleo, as we close out the show, once again, here's Siegfried Christoph.
Thanks, Dean. That's my cue to tell you who our stars were today from the 30-time award-winning 91.1 Players. As Dean Martin, Jim McClure. And Brett Hodick as Jerry Lewis. In our version of Stan Freeberg's A Christmas Dragnet, our stars were Ryan Farrell, Brad Hodick, Cameron Spencer, and Renee Bouchel. Also, Natalie Lavoie with her wonderful reading of Mrs. Santa Claus, written by Carolyn S. Bailey. Our holiday program would not be complete without our rendition of Fibber McGee and Molly. Our stars were Brett Hodick, Henry Schmidt, Natalie Lavoie, Cameron Spencer, and myself, Siegfried Christoph. Our live music today was provided by Bill's Little Big Band under the direction of Bill McGee. And finally, many holiday thanks to John Ludi Paleo for providing his incredible singing voice. This wonderful show today was directed by Renee Bouchel and was written and produced by Steve Brown. This broadcast today and the entire 18th season of the WGTD Radio Theater is dedicated to the late Michael Alstrup, who along with Steve Brown created the Radio Theater 18 years ago. Mike passed away in February of this year. We close today's broadcast with John Ludi Paleo's rendition of I'll Be Home for Christmas. Thanks so much for listening to our annual holiday broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater. And now I'll turn it over to our executive producer.
And thank you, Siegfried. And yes, we are going to close with a few songs. John Ludi Paleo, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
I'll be home for Christmas.
another wonderful song by John Ludi Paleo. And you know what? We just have enough time. I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and we have enough time for another great song from Bill's Little Big Band. Take it away, Bill. Bill's Little Big Band, ladies and gentlemen. And you've been listening to Jingle Bells. This is WGTDHD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva on your gateway to public radio.